It's Dunham and Miller Open Time, the Grey Goose Vodka D&M Open. It's August 16th. Wait, that can't be. That'd be like last month. George, it says on this liner, August 16th is the Dunham Miller Open.
Can't believe a liner's messed up. It's September.
Dude, this whole book is a mess since Vice went over to the other side.
I know.
Like it says, Donovan's going to be at Humperdinck's tonight. It's not tonight, right?
It's tomorrow. Back
there. All right, so the D&M Open is September 16th. Thanks to Grey Goose Vodka, you'll be helping out Special Olympics Texas. That's all right, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Tangle Ridge Golf Club, Grand Prairie.
That's it.
For questions like, when is it?
And what?
Contact p1@theticket.com.
And what's a birdie? You can get that there, too.
And who's the best golfer at the ticket? Let's have Corby and Saroy set up a contest.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is exciting.
All right. It's been talked about for months, and we're finally doing it. Now, we don't have a title. I kind of like Weekly Jub, because then we can kind of move it around if Jub's schedule needs. Donovan has voted for Tuesdays with Jub.
No matter what day.
And Bob seems to like 10 minutes with Jub. Either way, Jub is in the title, right?
Not the commander or the big man?
No, it doesn't matter.
International chirp chirp.
I think it's a colossal waste of time for such a well-oiled midday show. But
he has more nicknames than Apollo Creed.
But I am honored to be a part of the fall lineup. I really am.
This is big.
We were going to have you part of the Pick Games crew, but then you need your own platform.
Yeah, and after that last segment where we had Kid and Computer on,
I don't know. Great.
I don't know how George will fit in.
So, all right, finish this sentence. I'm not racist, but
Bob is.
All right, good.
That's ridiculous.
That's a good start. That's a good start, Jub.
Well played.
I'm one of the only people on this show with a multi-ethnic family, immediate family. So you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. Several nationalities represented.
There, you do.
But you did tell us something that was the great thing about racism once.
It is
one great thing about racism, I
and
guess.
I stand behind that point. It was a good point, and I will just let it live in history and let it be besmirched by the morning show. So, George, this is our first episode, and it's going to be a little weird in the first episode, but we'll get into a rhythm here that's amazing, and we'll probably change the face of radio over the course of many weeks and months. But in our short time together for episode one, what do you got the Cowboys doing this year?
I said 6-10 this morning.
Wow. 6-10. If I can't look to you for 10 win projections, what's happened?
Don't you feel like this is the most pessimistic you've ever had a Cowboy season starting? Across the board.
Like, on the ticket, is Jake the only person that has a winning season? Like,
I think I'm close.
On the ticket?
No, I'm close. I'm close with Jake.
I feel like even the third Campo year, we had optimism and they're going to get this right this year. And of course, after that was Parcells. This is the first year I can just remember the majority of people I have heard or looked at are saying under 500.
Probably since Parcells, you probably won't have them making the playoffs. Every year you have them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think at the end of the Campo era, you had a season like this. I just can't remember. I think like 1990 is the last time I can really remember it. You know, coming off the 1-15, it seemed like that next year, everyone in town thought it was going to be, that's an interesting chapter of Cowboy history. The first 2 years of Jimmy, not only did people think Jerry was full of it, people thought Jimmy was full of it too.
Yeah.
Totally thought he was full of it and over his head and didn't know what he was doing. And I mean, even getting questioned on, the radio broadcast of, well, that may have worked in college, Jimmy, but it's not working here. And, we were all proven wrong. But no, I don't think we're going to be proven wrong here. It's just, you got to have players. I mean, and here's some common ground we have. Hard Knocks. I don't get to talk Hard Knocks in the morning because no one watches it but me. And I know Bob loves it.
Yeah.
Donovan's in.
Yes.
I don't know if Dan's in or not.
No, I'm on board. I watched last night.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Did you watch last night?
That's what I'm going through right now, the last episode. I think this year may have been, I don't know if it's the best year, but I think I've enjoyed it this year more than any other year.
I don't think I've been fired up for a team to see what they're going to do than Atlanta. You know, they've had Cincinnati, and you maybe get on board a little bit, Jets. But this one, I'm fired up to see what they're going to do.
Boy, I was really into Chiefs football for a year.
I was into the Chiefs also, yeah, yeah.
I think they lost.
But I am really fired up to see what Atlanta's going to throw out this year.
I think they have a lot of compelling stories. They really, and one of them is just what happened to them last year.
Right.
And beyond injury, before they got really banged up, they weren't playing very well. And it is amazing in this league where you can be on such a roller coaster. And, yeah, I can't wait to watch an Atlanta game that counts because I feel like, and I guess that's the purpose of the show, I feel like I know them.
I've made a mental note, though. It seems like they don't really even mention last year a lot. Like, are they just, they just want to be positive and moving forward? Yeah, like, they're not saying we have to overcome. I'm thinking that in my head.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to get it back? But I feel like they're consciously not,
they thought it was just
saying
we
had a bad year.
Yeah.
It seemed like they mentioned it a lot in the first couple of episodes.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to let this happen again, and we're not going to be soft, and, you know, a few of the guys that were hurt, like when they were showing Roddy White, you know, coming off the injury and all that. But, yeah, they are in some ways acting like it never happened. And I'd forgotten this. I'd forgotten until, and that's where I am right now, I'd forgotten they're getting a new stadium.
Yeah, me too, and it looks insane.
But it's not for a couple years?
Yeah, it sounds like 3 years.
They're breaking the ground on it, or they're just getting started on it, I think. I think I saw some shovels in the ground there on that one scene, but that roof looks really crazy.
That's why when they'll do something on Jerry, and they'll say, in fact, maybe even in that Outside the Lines thing, there was a little something in there about how his legacy is going to be this great stadium, you know, in the end. Will it? All stadiums end up being, like, the first one is really cool, but then everybody else either copies or tries to get something. Like, in 20 years, are you going to still look at this stadium and think of it as this big deal, or will it be one of, or it was the first of the big deals, but, you know,
right.
Camden Yards was this great
right.
thing. But then when everybody copied Camden Yards, right now Camden Yards is, it's a stadium. It's good.
Yeah, I think in 10 years it'll just be.
So I don't think Jerry's legacy will be the stadium.
It's weird, though. I don't know if we can judge it, because we're here, you know? I mean, when people roll into town, they still marvel at this place.
Yeah, they do.
That's the one thing. It's tough to really get a read on how great is the stadium by people's standards. And are we?
I'm
just
only
so,
saying because I saw Atlanta's plans last night, and that looks awesome. And how many other people are going to try to one-up them and then one-up Jerry, you know?
Well, I think we took Hard Knocks for granted when it was on the Cowboys, because while we got an inside look, we felt like we knew a lot of that stuff. But when it's somebody else's team, I just think it's so much better. I hope they never do the Cowboys again, just because I think it's so cool to take an inside look at, no matter how contrived some of the meetings are that are mic'd, some of this stuff has to be real, because they're rolling miles and miles of film and video.
That special teams meeting last week was awesome. Light into guys. And I'll tell you something, we don't think about that enough. And I think these last two episodes have shown you that those fringe guys, it's all about covering punts and kicks. And, you know, even as it relates to Michael Sam now being here, and just the idea that there are 300 and some practice squad players in the NFL food chain. And if they ever get a down in the NFL, they've had a successful career, let alone a, you know, being a regular starter, which, you know, the odds of that, if you are on the practice squad, the odds of you becoming a starter are probably a lot longer than people think right now, that they're anticipating Michael Sam running through a poster in the next couple of weeks and getting three sacks, you know?
How about the scene from last night where Michael, Matty Ice is talking to the receivers about what they do on just about every play? Isn't that amazing that the quarterback knows, and it makes sense, of course he's got to know, but he knows and can quiz these guys and knows what every receiver does on every adjustment route and everything. Yeah. Oh, no, it's just it's awesome.
Well, all the options they each have, and then he's got to know what they're seeing and then what option they're going to choose.
But it shows you why you can't have your quarterback getting baked, going back to Quincy. You know, just the idea that a quarterback is different. A guy can conduct himself in a certain way, but a quarterback can't. And it's just because they're, they're a coach, right?
Yeah. In essence, it gets you back to Manziel, too.
Yeah.
Can he do that right now? Could he go into a meeting room and tell every receiver if they're four wide what they do on any given play?
His head is swimming. That's why we don't start rookie quarterbacks in week one, right?
Yeah. Amen.
All right, this is Weekly Jub. We're almost out of time already, but give me 60 seconds on your trip to see Charlie Strong and the Longhorns, and I know North Texas had higher hopes, but I'm really curious about the
Charlie. Oh, how'd they do? I didn't get a paper.
Be cool.
It's only episode one, dude. We've got a long way.
I want George to be able to come on our show every week and not have to wear a cup. Let's just hope for that.
Why does he work at the Ticket then? Come on.
Really impressed with their defense. I think you can tell a noticeable change in the Longhorn defense, which, by the way, after Greg Robinson took it over last year, they played okay defensively. But, man, they tackle, they pressure the quarterback. But I think they're screwed now. They lost their best offensive lineman in Dominic Espinosa at center, and they lost David Ash, it looks like, maybe forever. That poor kid, I feel so bad for him. And I don't know what you're going to get with Tyrone Swoops. I think you have to change your offense with him. But I think their defense will keep them in a game with anybody, Oklahoma, anybody in the big Baylor. I think their defense is that good. I was really impressed with that. I think you can tell a noticeable difference between the Texas defense than what they've been since maybe 2005.
How about the fact that we're back at the quarterback chaos, and this all goes back to Mac again, and the other kid they were going to get instead of Swoops was is now starting for the Buckeyes, JT Barrett, and it's just 10 years of quarterback disaster.
It is.
That Charlie Strong. Charlie may love having a year where no one expects anything, but...
But here's the thing. Everyone else was wrong, too, because all these other rating services had Tyrone Swoops as the number two quarterback in the country when he came out. All these other schools were falling all over themselves to get him, too. And I don't know. Let's see what he does. I don't think he's going to do particularly well. But, yeah, all these other schools were messed up on him. And Gerard Hurd, the freshman out of Denton Guyer, he may end up playing by the time the season's over. And I saw him play in high school. He's awesome. So maybe there's a future there. But, yeah, I think without Ash, they're going to have some major problems offensively the rest of the year.
All right, Jub, got to go.
They're kicking us out of here, Jub.
Oh, by the way, they played in a minute though, at Memorial Stadium on Saturday.
They did what?
They played in a minute.
Stadium
in the pregame, yeah.
Wow. So
it must be a P1 in their game day presentation crew.
Good for you. That's awesome.
In a minute.
Did you do
all right, boys.
Fake Craig Way?
I don't even know what that means.
All right. We'll see you.
That's this week's Sporting a Jub with Jub.
Abernathy, a big winner tonight.
All right. There's this week in Jub. 2:53 on the Ticket. Sport.